Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 268, the four stanzas. All people that on earth do dwell, sing to the Lord with cheerful voice, him serve with mirth, his praise forth tell. Come ye before him and rejoice. And what follows, Psalter 268, the four stanzas. the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in 1 Samuel 30, the verses 1 through 20. First, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. 1 Samuel 30, the first 20 verses. And it came to pass, when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag, and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, and Noam the Jezreelitess and Abigail, the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. So David went, he and the 600 men that were with him, and came to the brook Bezer, where those that were left behind stayed. But David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 abode behind, which were so faint that they could not go over the brook Bezer. And they found an Egyptian in the field and brought him to David and gave him bread, and he did eat, and they made him drink water. And they gave him a piece of a cake of figs and two clusters of raisins. And when he had eaten, his spirit came again to him, for he had eaten no bread nor drunk any water 3 days and 3 nights. And David said unto him, to whom belongest thou, and whence art thou? And he said, I am a young man of Egypt, servant to an Amalekite, and my master left me, because 3 days agone I fell sick. We made an invasion upon the south of the Kerethites, and upon the coast which belongeth to Judah, and upon the south of Caleb, and we burned Ziklag with fire. And David said to him, canst thou bring me down to this company? And he said, swear unto me by God that thou wilt neither kill me nor deliver me into the hands of my master, and I will bring thee down to this company. And when he had brought him down, behold, they were spread abroad upon all the earth, eating and drinking and dancing, because of all the great spoil that they had taken out of the land of the Philistines and out of the land of Judah. And David smote them from the twilight even unto the evening of the next day, and there escaped not a man of them, save 400 young men, which rode upon camels and fled. And David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives. And there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil, nor anything that they had taken to them. David recovered all. And David took all the flocks and the herds which they drave before those other cattle, and said, this is David's spoil. Thus far the scripture reading. Let us try to ask the Lord for his indispensable blessing. A merciful Lord of the heavens and of the earth, then also in this evening hour, then thou yet maketh a great difference where there is no difference with most of the inhabitants upon the face of the earth. Thou hast granted many blessings in this day. Thou hast watched over each and every one of us. And then it behooves us not only to ask for thy sparing hand during the week and on the Sabbath day between the worship services, but then we also do well to to humbly ask thee that thou may watch over us in thy house and bring us all safely to the end of this service. Thou knowest thou that each and every one has come up to thy house. Lord, do remember those with their zigzags in their life, can be in so many ways. We have heard of a David that he returned with his men and that Ziklag was burned. Do remember and uphold all the mourning ones. Place underneath thy everlasting arms. Grant courage. May their eyes be upon thee and all the calling sanctified. All those that have difficulties of the body, difficulties of the mind, may the means be blessed. Grant a place at thy footstool. We commend unto thee the young daughter in the hospital. May it please thee that the ways may be prospered, that she may return to her dwelling. Remember all the crosses, all the burdens, those that struggle with difficulties and weakness of the mind. Wilt thou also remember those that are near and dear unto them? Wilt thou continue to provide for our daily bread? We may thank thee in this season for all that thou hast given to grow. Thou hast given already much opportunity to harvest. Thou hast kept from great storms of destruction. May it please thee to continue to do so, and that there may be broken and humble hearts under all thy mercies. We have also heard out of thy holy word of an Egyptian that was faint. Lord, remember those faint-hearted ones. Can be so many questions, can be so many riddles. And the true faith, which thou worketh by thy Spirit in the heart of thy true people, can be so assaulted, can be so attacked, can be the question whether it is indeed the faith which thou granteth unto thy people. And that is that Egyptian that has sinned everything away, that has ruined everything, that they are so faint that they cannot, that they dare not speak. But, Lord, then we have heard of David that he was given to eat and to drink and was revived. May that also take place in this evening hour for those faint ones, that by an eye of faith they may be given to hear thy voice, to see thee in thy willingness and in thy beauty, and that they may return to their dwelling strengthened. Lord, remember the unconverted. 'Tis so needful for all of us that thou continually, that thou indeed impresses upon all of our hearts, divine realities, that we are born a body and a soul, traveling to a never-ending eternity, only one step between us and death, that we need to be converted, we need to be born again, to become new creatures in Christ Jesus. And as a poor and black sinner, to be washed in the precious blood of thy dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, do bless thy word in this evening hour to that end, then in this day the visible gospel was also administered. Wilt thou add thy blessing? Remember those parents with their little ones. May the prayers be multiplied. So remember and bless thy word in the church, in the family circles. Help fathers and mothers to that end, to instruct their dear children in that aforesaid doctrine. Wilt thou bless the labors in our Christian school thou was granted in the past week, that it may commence by renewal. Wilt thou grant traveling mercies day after day. Remember the administrator, the instructors, and all the students. Remember the empty places in our school, and do continue to help the school board. We commend unto thee our theological school, the instructors, the two students. May they be instructed by thee. Commend unto thee the persecuted church, the Jewish people, our mission field, the two established congregations, the mission post, thy servant, the team, the family circles, that people in Peru, it may be according to thy will, that a heart may be inclined to labor amongst them. We commend unto thee land and country. Wilt thou remember the two young couples? Their names have been mentioned in this morning. May they be carried upon the wings of prayer, where one young couple hopes to be united in holy matrimony toward the end of this week, and the other couple the coming week. Ah, grant them a place at thy footstool, where they may fervently beg of thee, that thou may go with them, that thou may bless them, help them, remember them for the time, and they shall come through the time, but above all, for thy grace, for the work of thy Spirit, that they may be given to seek thee early. And thou wast promised, those that seek me early, they shall find me. May it please thee to grant unto all of our youth the desire of their hearts to receive one with whom they may travel through this life as husband and wife, and to receive one in thy favor. We commend unto thee prodigal sons and prodigal daughters. Lord, we humbly ask thee for thy gracious help. May thy word go forth with power divine. Wilt thou grant it Aaron's and hers, and a realization that we are a sinful, an unthankful, and an unworthy people, but, Lord, thou wast said unto the house of Israel, I do it not for your sake, but I do it for my great name's sake. Wilt thou so richly dwell amongst us, and that we may be enabled to take something along when we travel homeward, that the outgoing of the service may be for the coming of thy kingdom, the glory of thy name. Do pardon us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalter 114, the stanzas 1 through 5. As thirst the heart for water brooks, so thirst my soul, O God, for thee. It seeks for God and ever looks, and longs the living God to see. And what follows, Psalter 114, the first 5 stanzas.
Thank you.
Beloved congregation, we have read together of a David with the 600 men that have been with the Philistines with King Achish, and that he has returned to Ziklag and was given to see that Ziklag was burned. So there can be those Ziklags as the mourning ones, the tried ones, the troubled ones, expectations that are disappointed. You can multiply it out. What a zigzags there can be in our life. And then it is a privilege and a blessing when, as in the life of David, that those burned zigzags may be used, where he was given to us by the Spirit, by the grace of God, that he was given to encourage himself in his God, and that he is asked by Athar for the counsel of the Lord, whether he should pursue those Amalekites and whether he should overtake them. And then the Lord has spoken in the affirmative. And so David, with his men, they have pursued the Amalekites. And then we have heard it, that they have come upon an Egyptian whom the Amalekites have left behind because he became sick. Oh, congregation, that is now a picture of the devil and of the world. When the devil and the world can still use us as with that Egyptian, and then we shall be catered to. But when we become frail and sick, and then we shall be left alone. Also on our deathbed, then what shall it be to have to appear alone before our judge? But now this Egyptian, and that is a beautiful picture, a beautiful type, because David, even in the scripture, called the greater David than that Egyptian that was so faint, nothing to eat for 3 days and three nights, and that he was so faint that he could not even speak. And the Lord has a people upon the earth that know what it is to be faint. Those hidden ones, so many questions and so many riddles, exercised with justice. And then that Egyptian, boys and girls, then he is held burned Ziklag. And then the children can understand that that smoke could never be fetched to rebuild that city. And that is now a picture of sin. What a terrible thing that sin is. But now there were those servants that have brought that Egyptian, and that is the labor of the true servants, for those faint, for those troubled, and for those burdened ones, to bring them to the greater David. And then we have heard it, that David, that unto that Egyptian, food and drink were given him, and then he was revived. And then he was given to confess. He was an Egyptian. Oh, undoubtedly all the Egyptians, they have heard of the wonders of the God of Israel. But this Egyptian had not joined himself to the chosen people of the Lord, as went with the Amalekites and helped burn the city of Ziklag and taken the wives and the children away. Thus a guilty Egyptian. And then David is asked direction that he would be brought into the camp of the enemies. And that Egyptian, then he has asked David to swear that he would not be delivered up. Was that not bold of the Egyptian? Oh, instruction for the true child of God, that the child needs that full assurance that they are one of the Lord's, and to experience reconciliation and that blessed communion, that Egyptian was not delivered back into the camp of the Amalekites, but that he may stay under the banner of David. Then that Egyptian, then he was fed and he was strengthened, and that is what our Lord's Day out of our Heidelberg Catechism deals with. With the help of the Lord, Lord's Day 29, the question and answers, 78 and 79. Question 78, do then the bread and wine become the very body and blood of Christ? Answer, not at all. But as the water in baptism is not changed into the blood of Christ, neither is the washing away of sin itself, being only the sign and confirmation thereof, appointed of God. So the bread in the Lord's Supper is not changed into the very body of Christ, though agreeably to the nature and properties of sacraments, it is called the body of Jesus Christ. Question 79, why then doth Christ call the bread his body, and the cup is blood, or the new covenant in his blood, and Paul, the communion of the body and blood of Christ? Answer, Christ speaks thus not without great reason, namely, and not only thereby to teach us that his bread and wine support this temporal life, as so his crucified body and shed blood are the true meat and drink whereby our souls are fed to eternal life, but more especially by these visible signs and pledges to assure us that we are as really partakers of his true body and blood by the operation of the Holy Ghost, as we receive by the mouth of our bodies these holy signs in remembrance of him, and that all his sufferings and obedience are as certainly ours as if we had in our own person suffered and made satisfaction for our sins to God. Lord's Day 29 speaks of the two signs of the Holy Supper of the Lord Jesus Christ. Three thoughts. First, the rich significance. Secondly, the blatant errors. And thirdly, the scriptural language. The two signs of the Holy Supper of the Lord Jesus Christ. The rich significance, the blatant errors, and the scriptural language. When we compare two Lord's Days, Lord's Day 26 and 27, where the instructors have spoken of the sacrament of holy baptism, and compare them to Lord's Day 28 and 29, then there is a great similarity. Then the instructors have dealt in a similar way with the two sacraments, because in Lord's Day 26, when it speaks of holy baptism, how art thou admonished and assured by holy baptism that the one sacrifice of Christ upon the cross is of real advantage to thee. And then we have heard the past Lord's Day from Lord's 28 concerning the Lord's Supper. How art thou admonished and assured in the Lord's Supper that thou art a partaker of that one sacrifice of Christ accomplished on the cross and of all his benefits. Then also a great similarity between Lord's Day 27 and Lord's Day 29, because we have heard it from Lord's Day 27, is then the external baptism with water, the washing away of sin itself. Answer, not at all, for the blood of Jesus Christ only and the Holy Ghost cleanses us from all sin. And now in Lord's Day 29, then the question is asked, do then the bread and wine become the very body and blood of Christ? Thus in this Lord's Day, there is spoken of heirs concerning the two elements, the broken bread and the poured out wine. And then it is a blessing when the instructors, oh, we hear it, when they have explained those errors, then by renewal they are given to point to that only sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, whereby sinners may be saved. And then it is a blessing and a privilege when we may consider such a Lord's Day, that we may be given to examine our own mind, our own heart, concerning the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. And now the Lord has a people upon the earth, and that needs much instruction, and that they are given to see at times that they are not so much wiser. It is true, not the same confession, but that the child has those wrong thoughts and those errors also concerning the sacraments, and that he needed to be instructed by the great prophet concerning the meaning, the riches, and the comforts. And now it is pleased the King of the Church in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper to grant two signs. In the scriptures there is spoken of two witnesses. When we think of the dreams in the Old Testament, then at times they were doubled. Think of the dreams of Joseph, boys and girls, and the dreams of Pharaoh, to show the certainty thereof, that it would surely come to pass. And now Christ, he has chosen these simple signs for a people that know what it is to be an Egyptian. Oh, it is true. When it is granted to the true child of God, then they may be as a David and given to encourage themselves in their God. But now Christ, he knew who his people are. He knows their strife, their troubles, the assaults of Satan, and that they need to be continually strengthened and fed. The warfare can be great, those arrows in their body, but then Christ in his great love and in his exceeding compassion, then he has given two signs that the true faith of his true people may be strengthened. And then in the first place, then he has given that bread present at the Passover, and then concerning that bread, much instruction. In John 6, there are some heretics that use John 6 concerning the Lord's Supper, but in John 6, Christ was not speaking of the sacrament, but he was given to speak of spiritual things, that the true child of God, by a God-given faith, wrought by the Holy Spirit, may eat of his flesh and drink of his blood. And now our children can understand it, that for a loaf of bread, much has taken place. I even read in John 12, verse 24, that Christ has said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a grain of corn fall into the ground and die, it remaineth alone. But when it dieth, it bringeth forth much fruit." And then Christ was given to speak of himself. Thus then we consider the wheat that is harvested, that is ground, and that is baked. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, in the deep way of suffering and his death, that he has merited those benefits, the forgiveness of sins and eternal life of forest people. And we read in Isaiah 53 verse 10, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He is put into grief. Oh, then Christ in that bread, then he is given to declare to his child his great love and his great willingness, that he was willing to suffer and to die. And now the sacramental bread, it is placed separate, it is blessed. And so we read of the Son of God in Matthew 3 verse 17, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And then it is necessary, oh, that bread that is broken, oh, child of God, it points to the blessed body of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he was so willing that he would be broken, that the child of God shall not eternally perish. And then it is necessary that that bread is partaken of, that points to true saving faith, that it is digested, that the body is strengthened, that that bread permeates all the members of the body, and to that end, in the way of sanctification, that the child of God may be given to walk in the ways of the Lord. And then that sacrament, as with that Egyptian, when they may partake thereof and it is stressed, and no, it is not automatic. To that end, much prayer is necessary. It is only the same with the Word. It needs the application of the Holy Spirit. Then another sign, that is wine. And then wine in the Bible, O Christ. Then in his wisdom, then he is chosen and appointed two signs that were common over the whole world. And that is bread and wine. Concerning the wine, even more common in the Bible times, because they did not have the means to preserve food and drink. And now that wine, what a precious instruction. Then the berries are gathered, put in the wine press. And I read in Isaiah 63, it is true. There it especially speaks of Christ in the state of his exaltation, but that can never be separated from his humiliation, that he has trodden the wine press alone. And so the wine that points to the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, which he has shed for his people, that wine must be partaken of, and that is necessary by a true saving faith, by the operation of the Holy Spirit. And then wine, we have sung together out of Psalm 42, of one that thirsteth after the water brooks. And so the Lord, by the Holy Spirit, has a people that thirst and hungers for righteousness, and that not only in the beginning, but each time by renewal, a great privilege and a blessing when the Lord grants that hunger and thirst after the things of the Lord. And then that wine for a weary traveler, that is given to refresh, that is given, that grants joy. But it in the Bible also was medicine, where Paul has advised Timothy to take wine for his weak stomach. Oh, then that wine that encourages, and then to be partaker thereof. Our second thought, the blatant heirs. And now in this Lord's Day, of course, in the context, was also one of the reasons we have mentioned before that godly Frederick, oh, what a blessing it is for a country to have such a ruler where God's word has a central place, seeking the temporal things, the temporal welfare. He was not seeking his own welfare, but also concerning the spiritual welfare of the inhabitants of his country. And to that end, in our Heidelberg Catechism, then different heirs, blatant heirs, have been addressed, which were prevalent in that time. And then in this Lord's Day, consubstantiation, that was the heir of that godly Luther. Oh, well, Luther, that has learned so clearly what it is to be saved by grace, not founded so soon, and therefore given to glory in grace. And then it is also clear, surely a fruit thereof, that Martin Luther has experienced special blessings. It is not all written, but special blessings with the administration of the Lord's Supper. What a privileged child of God, not always the same, but when there may be those special feasts, unforgettable, that we may receive a special instruction, comfort, nourishment, and strengthening. And now Martin Luther, we have heard with the Ascension that Martin Luther has taught that with the Ascension of Christ, although in his writings other vague statements, but at least with his Ascension, that divine attributes were ascribed to the human nature of Christ. And then Martin Luther has stated that when Christ has ascended, that his human nature has become omnipresent. Thus that means, to that end, Luther has taught, oh, perhaps, such a desire that Christ may be present in special ways, but he has taught that Christ, with his human nature, is also present when the bread may be broken and the wine poured out. Thus, in the Lutheran Church, when there would be two congregations that administered the sacrament exactly the same time, that Christ would be present at both. The Roman Catholic Church, this written in this Lord's Day, that they tell their people that with the administration, with the Mass, when the priest speaks certain words, that he has the power to turn the bread and the wine into the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thus then such a priest would receive the power of God. And then we realize that it is deceit. But also in the life of true children of God that have been wrought upon, where everything has become new, where they have learned their sinnership, drawn by the cords of love, then also for those people of God, how many a child of God there has been and there is that actually comes quite close to the heir of the Roman Catholic Church, then you shall say, but how can that now be? Ah, for the people of God, because in this Lord's Day, then it speaks of overestimation and underestimation. And in our second thought, then it is overestimation. And for how many a child of God, that concerning the Lord's Supper, that they have made the broken bread and the poured out wine into the Savior, does not really in a different way, but then they come quite close, the Roman Catholic Church, they have said literally, and we know that is a blatant error. But for how many a child of God, oh, with the burden of their sin, thirsty and hungry souls, that they have looked upon the sacrament of the Lord's Supper as a Savior, and that they have thought, if the Lord now invites, draws, and grants me a place at the table, then everything is solved. But we must understand that the Lord's Supper, the signs that they are not the Savior, but that they are signs and seals instituted by Christ for the strengthening of their faith, which they have received in the Son of God. Of course, all can also be underestimation. But when we consider the heirs of Luther, the Roman Catholic Church, then they have overestimated. And Luther, there has been a gathering of theologians, Luther and Zwingli, in that respect, as Zwingli was more biblical, but Luther has written on that table, this written in the Bible, this is my body. Thus Luther has said, there you have it, that the bread is the body of Christ. But I think that even our children can understand it, that that word is, that means it signifies the body of Christ. Christ is used many expressions. In John 10, Christ that says, I am the door. And if we would have asked Luther, tell us now, when Christ has spoken those words, I am the door, did Christ then turn into a door? Was he really a door? And then Luther would have to be honest, no. That it signifies that Christ was the door for the church. We could give more examples. John 15, I am the vine. Then Christ was not a vine, but he typified a vine to make it simpler, yet boys and girls can be. If I would come in your house, that there would be a picture on the wall, and that you would say, this is my family. Is that picture literally your father and mother and family? Then you would say, but it is a picture. And so we must understand the scriptures. Psalter 401, the first three stanzas. Praise ye the Lord, his praise proclaim, and O my soul, bless thou his name. Yea, I will sound his praise abroad, and ever bless the Lord my God. And what follows? 401, the first three stanzas. Thank you. the two signs of the Holy Supper of the Lord Jesus Christ. The rich significance, the blatant errors, and now thirdly, the scriptural language. Why then doth Christ call the bread his body and the cup his blood, or the new covenant in his blood, and Paul the communion of the body and blood of Christ? Thus the question is asked, why does Christ in his holy word, inspired by the Holy Spirit given unto us, that there is such strong language that it is called, as we read in this question, his body and the cup his blood? Sometime for fathers and mothers, many times, and I hope boys and girls, that you have many questions about the Lord, a new heart, and the things of the Lord. And then fathers and mothers are forced to think of these things. That is not so bad. But now how to explain it to our little children? And then sometimes fathers and mothers, they use special examples and special expressions to try to show to their children those divine realities. And so Christ deals with his children, with his living children, a dead plant or a fence post does not to be nourished, does not need to be strengthened, but they always stay the same. But a living plant, the work of grace, that needs to be strengthened. And therefore the instructors, they have mentioned two special points to support the spiritual life, to be fed, to be nourished, and also to be assured. We have heard that Egyptian could not live on a maybe. He desired that assurance from David that he would not be delivered into the hands of the enemies. Thus Christ has spoken sacramental language. We have heard the same with the sacrament of holy baptism. And then the instructors, they have stated Christ speaks thus, not without great reason. My unconverted fellow travelers, how is it with you concerning the Lord's Supper? And then you shall say, of course, the confessing members, but when I am unconverted, then I have not a place. Hold on to it. But do you realize what you are saying? Are there times when the Lord's Supper is administered that you go home so distressed, you fall on your knees and say, Lord, still unconverted, without thee, without Christ, without hope. Oh, wilt thou convert me? Are there those times that we may be filled with a holy jealousy? Ah, for those seeking souls, then how jealous they can be, how distressed. On Tuesday morning, when we have met in our school with the children, then we have said a few words about the cave of Adullam, spoken more of the practical aspect that there needs to be love unity, there needs to be a captain. But oh, what a beautiful type of the greater David. And then we read that there were those that have come that were discontented, tired of being under the reign of Saul, distressed, and also with people that had a debt. And in the original, that refers to one that as a creditor. Oh, are there such souls in my midst, discontented mostly with self, distressed, a debt that you have tried so hard to pay and to cancel, but only becoming greater? And in the true work of the Lord, that is a people that cannot miss the Lord. Ah, then what a beautiful instruction that people, that they have went to that cave of Adullam, and we do not read that David has sent any away. What a rich proclamation of the gospel. I read in John 6, verse 37, all that the Father hath given me shall come unto me, and he that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out. And now, congregation, in that cave of Adullam, there is still room for us and our children, because Christ has said in John 10, verse 16, other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them I must also bring, one shepherd and one fold. Thus young and old, there is still room, but we need to come by that true saving faith. Oh, boys and girls, seek it early, that you may find a place in that cave of Adullam. Oh, young people, to make that good and precious choice, then you shall never be ashamed, and older ones, our time is quickly going by. For many, the greatest part of their life lieth behind, may still be proclaimed that there is that cave of Adullam, that there is a door, a captain that invites, and Oh, for that people that may come, then what blessings, what precious things, cares, provides, nourishes. We have heard in the sacrament the broken bread and the poured out wine. Mary has sung in her song in Luke 1 verse 53 that he filleth the hungry with good things, but the rich he sendeth empty away. David the psalmist, thou preparest the table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Let us close. Lord, we may humbly thank thee, even if it may be with our lips, for another Lord's Day, the visible, the audible gospel may be proclaimed, may still be heard, that there is room in the cave of Adullam, and now it is the work of the King by the Spirit to gather his church, to feed his church, to encourage them. We may begin another week. Ah, Lord, we humbly beg of thee that thou mayst spare young and old, the mothers in the home with the children, on the way, at work, at school. Remember our youth that study in institutions of higher learning, well, to be a fiery wall round about them, well, to crown the labor of our hands with thy blessing, well, to keep us from sin, harm and danger, wilt thou remember the consistory when we hope to meet tomorrow evening, wilt thou provide for the coming Lord's Day, do help the consistory, grant unto the brother elders a sermon to read, we commend unto thee the doorkeepers, those that may lead the congregational singing, the sound system, well, thou grant many a Aaron's and hers. Well, thou grant a prayer for one another, dismiss us now in thy favor, and bring us safely to our dwellings. Pardon us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name, amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 54, the stanzas 1, 4, and 5. My faithful shepherd is the Lord, supplying all my needs. In pastures green he makes me rest, by quiet waters leads. And what follows Psalter 54, the stanzas 1, 4, and 5. Thank you. receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.